we wrote this, good thing I'm trying. We wrote this poem together for this service.
We are all
women,
young and old.
Three generations of one family.
We are creative, strong, and powerful.
We are hellraisers and trailblazers.
Everything we like to think we are.
But we are also everything we don't like to think about.
Artist, singer, crone.
Prime of life, well-educated professional.
Youth, full of promise, baker, director, playwright.
And we are all that young girl, each of us.
Deep inside, we are
scared, lonely, intimidated, selfish, and weak.
Curious, generous, creative, strong.
We are all everything.
We are rich and we are poor.
We are rich and poor in spirit, patience, wisdom, and resources.
So when we give to someone else, we can't help but give to ourselves as well.
We are all connected. We are all one.
In her book, Rising Strong, Brené Brown tells us there is no reason for shame as we share our vulnerabilities and our needs. In fact, articulating and understanding these vulnerabilities and needs is exactly what we must do in order to receive help or to give it wholeheartedly. Only once we've articulated and acknowledged our vulnerabilities can we each see that we're a piece of humanity, that group of beautiful and beautifully needy individuals who come together to care for each other. Today, we share our gifts of three stories. Stories about how we might not necessarily look like them. You know, those needy ones, the ones we give our donations to. But here we are, three strong and generous, weak and needy women.
My argument with mental illness. I love the Bob Dylan song, Forever Young. The lyrics include these wise words. May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you always do for others and let others do for you. Notice that last phrase. The lines go hand in hand. We give and we need. We need and we give. We don't get to go through life only giving or only receiving either. It's a dance that weaves us together to ourselves and to each other. I too love Brené Brown, and in her wonderful book, Rising Strong, she talks a lot about being vulnerable and how important that is to live authentically. She says, giving help can occasionally feel vulnerable, but asking for help always means risking vulnerability. For me, it has always been easier to hide in the giving. Helping others was a way of escaping my own needs. I didn't have to face the truth of my own depression, a condition I probably suffered with since young adulthood. What did I know? I didn't know what depression meant. I thought I was just deficient as a mother because I was so lost after my first baby. I thought everyone kept secrets and felt bad about themselves. I guess that's what I learned in an era of putting on your best face to the outside. Just don't say anything, don't let on that anything might be wrong. But when in my 40s I finally went to talk with my doctor about my endless crying sessions and my despair, I was ashamed. I felt less than. I was one of those hidden people who were depressed. I took the medication prescribed, and I was really lucky. It was effective for me, and I was able to feel more whole, more hopeful. Still, I never asked for help other than those doctor visits. As the years have gone by, I can usually cut back on my medication during spring and summer. I guess I'm still ashamed enough of needing it to take medication for mental illness that I try to take as little as possible. But come the fall and the waning light, and I start to feel sad, and then sadder, until finally someone in my family will ask, "You're taking your medication?" Dang, I hate that. And to make it worse, they are usually right. So this year, I started my annual argument with depression somewhere in early October, trying to talk or write myself into a better space. But then I surprised myself. I actually reached out to my family and to my sisters and shared that I was feeling depressed again. And for the first time, I let myself feel their care. I let them into my heart enough to heal me and help me. It was a very humbling revelation to me, who takes charge and gets things done and can juggle with the best of them. Me, who hates others seeing my need, who would rather just smile and nod and help someone else. I somehow got the courage to risk being vulnerable, to risk asking for receiving care when I was in need. Again with Brené Brown, oh, I love her. The bottom line is that we need each other, and not just the civilized, proper, convenient kind of need. Can I borrow a cup of milk? Not one of us gets to go through this life without expressing a desperate, messy, and uncivilized need. So when we give, we don't give because we're better than. We give because we need, again and again. And if I had it to do over again, I would ask for help, again and again.
Landing on my feet. I read the book. I know there is no shame in our vulnerabilities, and yet I am still embarrassed to admit that one of the scariest parts of divorce for me was the finances. We didn't have much money growing up in community, so there was no family fortune to fall back on. And I had taken a leave of absence from my teaching job to better support my then husband and my then toddler, Zoe. A year and a half into my 2-year leave of absence, I decided divorce was the only option I would choose to rebuild my life. I had been married for 11 years, and I was terrified at the prospects of being alone, on my own, with a young child to nurture and support. I had a job guaranteed through Boulder Valley School District, but I didn't know where it would be or what the job would be. My soon-to-be ex-husband had lost his job, and so we would have to sell our house. Neither of us could afford it on our own. I ran the numbers again and again, late at night, but I couldn't quite figure out how to make it work. I would have to find a place to live close to my new job, one that I could afford on a teacher's salary. And Zoe would need to go to that school because I couldn't afford any extra childcare. There were so many unknowns in my budget and in my life, it was almost comical. My mantra then was, well, You can always move in with your parents if you need to. It kept me going. And that's when I started attending BVUUF. I needed some hope to believe that I would eventually land on my feet. I will always be grateful for the kind friends and family who helped me in so many ways, financially, emotionally, and with lots of free childcare. I eventually was offered a job at Louisville Elementary, and I found a great fixer-upper house that I could almost afford, and that was close to my job. My mom and dad helped with a lot of the house jobs. We stained railings in the evenings, rototilled the backyard on the weekend, and that's a story unto itself. And we assembled some great IKEA furniture that actually fit in the house. Those first few years, I received many gifts from the fellowship, from friends, neighbors, and even from parents in my classroom. They were all so generous. I received clothing for Zoe and myself, household goods, a washer, a dryer, a grill, even meals. I could almost afford to live from paycheck to paycheck. But I'm thrifty, a little crafty, and wow, can I work a deal. Mostly, though, I became very honest with myself, my family, my friends, and my fellowship. There were presents that I just couldn't afford for my daughter, so my sister and my folks would purchase them, and we'd sign it all from us. I also became an expert at finding things at the Arc and upcycling hand-me-downs into something beautiful. I even once had the experience of a coworker sharing that the skirt I was wearing used to be one of her favorites. And now here I am, on my feet again. Hand-me-down boots and a dress from a thrift store. And I think I look fabulous. I'm one of the lucky ones, though. I had my health, my education, my profession, and a generous community. I know that not all women coming out of divorce have such gifts. I know that deep in the fiber of my being. I know what was given to me when I was in need, and that's what I think about when I give. But if I had it all to do over again, I would ask for more help as well. I would ask Reverend Lydia for help, knowing about the minister's discretionary fund, knowing that she could help with some basic costs or even some comfort. I would tell my story to all married women, knowing some were probably too scared to try going it on their own. I would be more vulnerable.
How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How deeply you're connected to my soul.
My own thunderstorm. Picture yourself outside in a field in the middle of a thunderstorm. You're drenched and shivering. There's no shelter in sight. You have your phone, but you've forgotten how to ask for help. It's what it feels like to go through a crisis. It's how it feels to be hidden. People know they could ask for help, but they feel like society won't accept them if they admit to having hardship in their life. I know because I've been there. I've been the girl who wakes up screaming in the middle of the night. The girl who can't go to restaurants where people are drinking. the one who has panic attacks at the smell of alcohol. People fake things like that all the time for the attention. But when that's your hardship, you don't tell anyone. You don't tell anyone because you can't stand to see the pity in their eyes. You don't want the worry. You only tell people who won't make that your defining factor. That's why I stayed hidden. I didn't want my pain to be the way the world viewed me. Today's topic is the hidden them among us, those who need help. And they hide because they have enough going on in their lives, because they can't handle the pity, because they want to remain themselves. And that is just the way of life. We're all lined up in front of the wheel of fate, waiting for it to hit us. Because it will happen to everyone. So let's create a shelter. If everyone lays one brick today, when the rain begins to fall, we all have a dry place to go, and we don't have to knock to get in.